1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse number 1. I'm going to read four verses here, and then I want to point out one particular phrase that I want to focus on today. It says, "And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?'" Now you know that Jonathan is David's best friend, and he's also the son of the king. And the king is Saul is David's father-in-law. So they're partly family, partly friends. They've got a really close relationship. "And he said unto him, 'God forbid, thou shalt not die.'" This is Jonathan speaking. "Behold, my father," talking about Saul, "will do nothing either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, 'Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth," if you had a pen, underline this next phrase, "there is but a step between me and death." Verse 4. "Then said Jonathan unto David, Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." A step between me and death. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you. I thank you for the privilege of being in church today. I pray that you'd help us, give us strength for the hour to come, and I pray that you'd touch us with thy spirit and thy presence today and grant only what you can do. I pray that you'd forgive me for my faults and my failures and help me as I stand before this great congregation today. Do what only you can do, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A step between me and death. But you notice a few things beginning in verse number 1. The first thing I want you to notice is the fleeing from death. We all do this. We all try to run away from the idea of death. Verse 1 says, "And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?'" Okay, so we see the courageous fleeing here. David is not a wimp. He is not he's not a fraidy cat. He's a courageous person, but he's trying to play it smart and run away from the concept of being slaughtered by his own father-in-law. He knows that it's possible that his father-in-law might kill him. And I don't think anybody here today is running away from somebody that might be killing you, but many of you here today may have a fear that something might come and get you. And that is a legitimate fear. We live in a world where death knocks on everybody's door, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. We know that we all got appointment with that. And even though David was a courageous man, he was running away from the concept of having to die. He didn't want to die that day, and he didn't die that day. We see Jonathan's life continuing. But he could have died that day, and he knew it. Okay? So even though you may not die today, you need to understand that you could die today. You may not die tomorrow, but you could die tomorrow. You didn't die yesterday, but you could have died yesterday. Death is a very prominent subject in the Scripture. The courageous fleeing. Then we see the consecrated fleeing. Consecrated. He didn't have any iniquity in his life. It wasn't like David was escaping death because he'd done something wrong and was running away to try to keep from getting punished for it. David hadn't done anything wrong. David was doing right, and he was still trying to escape death. You may be here today and your life is upright and you're trying to please the Lord. You're trying to serve God the best you can. Or you may be here today and you're not serving God. You've never been born again. And you're fleeing, you're running away from death. But not only the consecrated flee, but then the consistent are fleeing. Okay, he hadn't done anything wrong to Saul. He'd been a great servant of Saul. He'd been a great blessing to Saul. He had helped Saul. He had defeated Goliath for Saul. He had done so many things for Saul. He was a consistent person, and yet he was still running away from death. You may be here today, and you may be a good person. And you're trying to live a life. You're trying to do your best to get along. But there's going to come a day that death's going to knock on your door, and it could happen at any moment. All right, so that's the fleeing from death. Then I want you to notice the foolishness about death. Look at verse number 2, the foolishness about death. Jonathan speaking here. It says, "And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." The foolishness about death. Well, this foolishness is him saying, you're not going to die. Jonathan didn't know if David was going to die or not. I don't know when you're going to die, and you don't know when I'm going to die. I've got a dear friend, a longtime friend in the state of Maine. He's a missionary, been up there. He's got two grandkids he's raised on the mission field and a daughter. And he's dying with cancer, and they called his daughter, made her drive 500 miles yesterday to come to the hospital because they didn't think he was going to make it through the night. And he's a great servant of God, great missionary, done great things for God. But he may not, I don't know if he's still even around. I haven't heard yet. You never know. There's an appointment for you to die, and you can run away from that. You can try your best to not face that, or you can face it and say, hey, I need to be ready at a moment's notice if it's my time to go. All right? The controller of death here. Okay, we see the foolishness about death. Look at this controller, verse number 2. And he saith unto him, God forbid. And we know who's in charge of death. God's in charge of death. It may happen at any moment for anybody in here, but God is the one that's in charge of it. He's the controller of death. But then I want you to notice the callousness about death here. He said, God forbid thou shalt not die. You know, you're treading on thin ice if that's your attitude today. If your attitude is, well, I'm going to live to be 100 years old and I can get right with God sometime down the road. I can make things right with God when I'm an old person. I can make things right with God when I'm done having my fun. That's the callousness about death. And God's only going to let you go so far. If you're saved here today, you won't live very long in sin. And if you're lost, you might live in sin 100 years and you'll live in hell for all of eternity. That's the callousness about death. But then, the craziness about death. What did you say next? He said, my father will do nothing great or small, but that he will show it me. Jonathan was convinced that if David was going to die, he would have known about it. He was a know-it-all. He was saying, hey, if something's going to happen to you, I would have known about it. Now, David was being smart. He was defending himself. He was protecting himself from impending death, but those around him did not understand that. In other words, David was making sure things were right while those around him didn't care if they were right or not. And you may be here today, some of you here today are trying to make sure things are right. But then some of you here today could care less if they're right or not. And you could care less if people around you are right or not. We live in a very volatile and dangerous society. People are upset today over this virus that is knocking on the door of our nation. Let me tell you something. God knew about that 100 million years ago, and that don't bother him at all. It is not us. It is not appointed unto us to be fearful or afraid of things. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And that thing's not going to bother you unless God wants it to. Okay? We have a volatile political situation in our nation where we have things that are taking place that are absolutely absurd and may get even worse if we're not careful. The callousness about death and the craziness about death. All right, so we saw fleeing from death, and we saw the foolishness about death. But now I want you to notice the fear about death. Life is certainly uncertain. Look at verse 3. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes, and he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. The fear about death. Jonathan didn't care, because Jonathan didn't think anything was going to happen. But David had a fear inside of him because he knew death was coming his way. And even though it didn't happen right then, David ended up dying. Just like everybody in here will. I'm not afraid of crossing Jordan and going into heaven. That's not what my fear is. It's not a shaking in my boots, I don't want to die kind of thing, because I've made things right with God. And I know that when I die, I'm going straight to heaven. But if I were here today and I didn't know the Lord, I'd never been born again, death would be my worst nightmare. I'd be afraid of dying in my sleep. I'd be afraid of getting hit by a car. I'd be afraid of getting shot in the world we're living in. I'd be afraid. But right now I'm not afraid. The reason that fear does not grip me is because if something takes my life, if God allows me, it's my appointed time to go, I'm going to heaven. Straight to heaven. And nothing can stop me. But if you're here today and you've never been born again, you ought to be very afraid of death. Very. All right? The Bible truth about death. That's the fear about death. But in verse 3. But then also in verse 3, I want you to see the fact about death. The fact about death. He said, but truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Okay? So here's the truth about death. It said, truly, as the Lord liveth. Truly. Just as sure as the Lord is alive, and God is alive. Amen. Just as sure as the Lord is alive, you and I have an appointment with death. Just as sure as God is in control, you and I have an appointment with death. That is the truth, the Bible truth about death. But then I want you to see the trust about death. He said, just as sure as thy soul liveth, he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, the trust of death. Your soul is alive right now, just like your body is. Listen now, your soul is alive right now, just like your body is. But when your body dies, your soul's not going to die. Your soul will take on an eternal life, either in heaven or an eternal death in hell. So your death outside of the love of Christ, your death outside of being born again, is an eternal death. Your death after you've been saved is an eternal life. It's a beautiful thing, but if you've never been saved, death ought to grip your soul with a deep, deep, deep concern. Then we see the tracking of death. There is but a step between me and death. How far are you away from death? How far are you? Not far. If I understand correctly, there's been a person that's died in this church. Am I right about that? Was it a preacher, or just a person that died in this church, in this building? Just because you're in a church house don't mean two. JC said there's been two. Just because you're in the church house don't mean that you're supernaturally protected from having your last breath. Okay? I'm not trying to make anybody nervous. I just got to the point in my life where I truly and honestly believe the Lord could come back at any minute, any moment. And all the volatility in the world today is just pointing to the coming of the Lord. Amen. And you better be sure. You better know beyond a shadow of a doubt in the depths of your soul that if you killed over dead today, that you'd go straight to heaven. You better know that because God knows it. The tracking of death. All right, so we saw the fleeing from death, the foolishness about death, the fear about death, the fact about death. And then I want you to notice the faith of death. Verse number 4. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. So in the midst of all of this, of David running from death, he did have a friend that stuck by his side. And a moment ago, we saw Jonathan as somebody that wasn't sure, but in verse 4, we see somebody that is very sure. And I'm here today to tell you that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when I leave out of here, I'm going to heaven. And I can tell you about the same God, the same Lord Jesus that saved my soul, is the same God that can get you the assurity that when you die, you're going straight to heaven as well. All right, now, I want to look at that phrase, there is but a step between me and death. I want you to notice a few things about that. There is but a step between me and death. The first two words in that phrase, there is. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There is. Now, there's nobody in here that's 700 years old. Nobody in here 500 years old. Nobody in here I don't even think we have any 100-year-olds within a mile or so of here. I doubt it. You don't make it that far anymore. There's a few that live past 100, but really, I mean, if you're here today and you're 20, you're within 80 years of dying probably. If you're here today and you're 50, you're at least halfway there, maybe a lot closer than that. Okay, so the truth is that there is. Now look at the next word here. Look at your Bible. There is but. Thank God for that. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I'm so glad that even though there is a just one step between me and death, for me is just one step between me and heaven. There's just one step between me and the arms of God. There's just one step between me and eternal peace. There's one step between me and knowing that I'll be with my God and my loved ones for all of eternity. But also, on the other hand, there's but one step between you and dying and going to hell. But one step between you and the flames of hell. One step between you and eternal damnation without any relief at all. One step. There is but a step. And I got to thinking about some people in the Bible that died. I'll give you these examples. I thought about Job's discouragement. Okay, Job's discouragement. He went through his life and everything hit him left and right. And what was it? It was death. He looked around him and 10 of his kids died. All 10 of his kids died. All 10 of them. All 10 of them died in one day. 10 funerals at a time. 10 wooden caskets had to be carved out. 10 holes had to be dug in the ground. And millions of tears had to be shed for 10 lives that were cut off short because it was their appointed day. Job's discouragement. Then I thought about Absalom and how that Absalom was defeated in death suddenly. He was riding on that mule and the mule went under the thick boughs of the oak tree and his hair got caught up in it and the mule that was under him went away. Absalom, when he woke up that morning, he woke up with pride thinking that he was all that. He woke up with pride thinking that he had everything under control and thinking that everything was just going to be just wonderful because he's all that. And before the end of the day, he was screaming in hell. Before the end of the day, he was writhing in anguish and pain. He woke up in the pride of himself and went straight to hell before he went back to bed. Now, I'm going to read you a few stories here, and then I'm going to close. First story I want you to read that I want to read to you is the story of Max. Jane was to be married to Max on September the 25th of 2010 to begin a small gathering and grow to include 180 family and friends with a sit-down evening reception at a beautiful venue on the banks of the river. A strikingly good-looking couple they'd met as teenagers at college, and they bumped into each other again 16 years later in London. Max, at the age of 33, was a young artist whose career was just taking off while Jane worked for a film company. Jane said, "He seemed playful and mischievous, but I quickly realized that beneath the playfulness, he was a sensitive and mature and as ready as I was to go to the next stage of our lives." They became engaged on April the 21st of 2010. On Max's 34th birthday, they moved in together in West London at the beginning of September. But to keep with tradition, a few weeks later, they decided to spend the evening apart before their wedding. Jane was at her sister's house 10 minutes away when halfway through a family dinner, she suddenly felt the urge to call her fiancé. While on the phone, he made this horrendous noise like a long moan followed by sputtering as he was having difficulty breathing. They called an ambulance, but unfortunately, it was too late. 34 years old, Max, right before his wedding day. His fiancée called him, and while she was on the phone with him, he killed over dead. You say, "Oh, you shouldn't talk about stuff like that." We better start talking about stuff like this. Just one step between Max and death. Now, I never met Max. He died 10 years ago. If Max's picture was in front of me, I wouldn't recognize it. But that's all that's left of Max is a memory of 34 short years. The story of an unnamed woman. We don't know her name. A man in a blue Prius sped up and drove through a stop sign and hit a woman crossing the street who then flew in the air and landed 20 feet away. After checking to see if someone was there to help her, a witness put his car in first gear and chased the Prius through the streets of San Francisco. After 20 minutes, Tim lost him, but he was able to get a partial license plate. When he went back to the crime scene, the EMT said the woman had been pronounced dead. Tim shared the information about the plate and the car and helped the police find the man who hit her and ultimately put him in jail. You think this lady had any idea she's going to hit by a car that day? Minding her own business, doing her own thing, but there was just one step between her and death. I'll read one more. April 22nd of 2004, my life was changed forever. This is the story of a girl named Olivia from her parents' perspective. April 22nd, 2004, my life was changed forever. My 14-year-old daughter, Olivia Corrine Hoff, died of sudden cardiac arrest. Olivia was the picture perfect of health. She was always involved in sports and cheerleading, so of course there could be nothing wrong with this daughter. About 2 to 3 weeks before Olivia died, she complained about being lightheaded, as if she were going to faint. She started having bad headaches, left arm pain, and severe neck pain. Then one night, Olivia came running out of her room. She was having trouble breathing with pain in her chest. The mom says, "I remember holding her and calming her down until she was okay. I told her that she was going to have to go see a doctor. I made the appointment, but her doctor was not available, so she was seen by another doctor. The day of our visit, the doctor listened to her heart, checked her blood pressure, and said everything was normal. He then asked Olivia about how she felt before her visit. We both explained to the doctor about the chest pain and all the symptoms she experienced a few nights before, and after listening, his diagnosis was stress. I remember thinking, okay, she's a freshman in high school and does not have has too much going on, so okay, she needs to slow down. I accepted the diagnosis and we left. Little did I know, Easter Sunday, April the 11th, 2004, was Olivia's last day alive. As I look back, I can remember what a wonderful day we had at the park with all of our family. Olivia looked so pretty, I can still see her smile. She died Easter Sunday, 2004, at the age of 14. Now, I read those stories. I've been wanting to do that for years. I read those stories so that you could see there's no age requirement for death. There's no health requirement for death. There's no anything that you can do to prevent your death. You are one step away from death. If I die, that's the only peace I have right now. If I die, I know I'm going to heaven. You may be here today, and if you die, you don't have a clue what's going to happen to you.